Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Thou therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We love you. Thank you for such a wonderful day here at our church. Lord, this morning in Sunday school and the excitement about it and the teaching of the Word of God, then to come into this great auditorium, see it jam-packed with people, folks walking down the aisles by the scores this morning. Lives changed, but yet we still stand before you needy because we're sinful. Well, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Please change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to preach a sermon that has to do with the subject of leadership. I hope that you'll hear me out because I think there are so many people in this auditorium that would feel that God would not use you in a leadership capacity. I hope you'll listen to me tonight. I'll tell you where this sermon came from. We were on a ship near the country of Haiti in the Atlantic Ocean. In the night, we came into some very, very heavy water. The swells and the waves out on the ocean, they told us, were 12-foot swells, which means from the top of the wave to the bottom of the wave, it was 12-foot, just wave after wave after wave. We had gone to sleep when the water was calm, and then when the storm hit, it began to toss that great big ship. It was to the point that I was virtually tossed out of my bed in the night. Either the waves or Mrs. Owens kicked me out of that bed. I don't know. But boy, when I awoke and hit the floor and I could feel that huge ship being tossed in the waves, I'll be honest, I was scared. When I was scared and I was the only one awake, Mrs. Owens was asleep, I looked out on the balcony and I seen these swells of water that were just outrageous hitting our ship. The devil came to me and he said, Jeff Owens, you are a man of very weak faith. How can you be a leader? For about 10 minutes in my spirit, I tossed and turned. And the devil was trying to pull the spiritual energy out of me. And I could just virtually feel him saying to me, you're weak, and you have flaws, And that storm was hitting, and I had fear. It was the fear that started the whole thought process, and I began to doubt myself, and I began to look at myself for what I was, and I seen how anemic I was and how weak I was, and the devil played with my mind for a little while. I went back to bed. I preached on the ship a day or so later. The next day, I got my Bible out. I began to think about that night and the fact that I experienced the fear that I did. And I put some thoughts together. I actually shared a portion of those thoughts when I preached on the ship with some of the other leaders that were there. But I believe this, and what I've done is I've expanded on it a little bit. I spoke for about 20 minutes or so to a group of the people that were on the ship with us. I've expanded on it a little bit tonight. I want to tell you, the sermon is called The Truth About Leadership. You stay with me tonight, if you will, please. And let me tell you, I believe God is growing many leaders in the midst of our congregation. I really believe that. This church has got to have a lot of leadership. It's a big church. It's a very influential church. This isn't a one-man band. This is an orchestra. And Jesus is the orchestra leader. And then we've got to keep this thing going. But maybe you would be a bit like me. That night, it seemed like the devil would have wanted to intimidate me from fleeing from that which God wants me to do. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, the only perfect leader was Jesus Christ. The only perfect leader ever, the only perfectly just one, the only sinless one, the only one that knows every move to make and the perfect timing for every move, that's Jesus. Then though God comes along and He says to His children that I'm going to need some of you to step up and I'm going to need you to lead. And the devil though, I think sometimes would like to intimidate us out of that opportunity, out of that calling of God. And the passage of Scripture that Brother Bush read together with you earlier from Joshua chapter 1, we see a very unique story. The great leader named Moses had died. And oh my, what a gap. What a hole his absence had left. There was a young man that was under the tutelage of Moses. His name was Joshua. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to have to face it. Moses, my servant, is dead. And I'm sure in Joshua's heart, he thought, well, who in the world is going to take off and lead this monstrosity of a ministry? And God said, Joshua, you are. You are. Joshua, I'm sure, in his fear, said, those are big shoes to fill. I speculate that when God said to Joshua, Joshua, you're the man that is going to take over and lead in the absence of Moses, I'm going to guess that Joshua, when he received those orders, he maybe began to step up to lead with some hesitation. I think he probably, when he realized what God was calling upon him to do, I'm going to believe that there was an awful lot of respect for this situation that Joshua was going to find himself. If you've ever studied, and I'm going to point out very quickly, about six or seven quotes from this story where God is talking to Joshua, and God is saying to Joshua, you're going to step up, Moses is dead, and God is grooming and preparing and coaxing and instructing Joshua. And I happen to believe that Joshua looked up to Moses in a tremendous way. We all know the leadership of Moses. It was incredible. I mean, the most powerful Old Testament leader was Moses. Can you imagine poor Joshua, God coming to him and saying to him, Moses is dead, and I want you to step up. You say, well, Joshua is a captain. I don't care how big of a captain you are. When somebody tells you they want you to take Moses' place, that's a little intimidating. All the miracles and all the powerful movement of God upon Moses. And I noticed as we read these nine verses, for instance, when God says to Joshua in chapter 1, verse number 1, He says to him, therefore arise. Now, you say, what does that mean? I don't know if at the moment Joshua had been on his knees praying and God comes to him and said, you're going to take Moses' place. I don't know if God showed up and Joshua, when they began to talk, if Joshua just fell down. He said, you want me to do what? What? God said, get up. I need to talk to you about this thing. I don't know how it worked. But God had to tell Joshua, now get up. Get up where... Now, I think had it just been praying, I don't know that he had to... gotten up from praying, I've got a feeling that when Joshua began to understand what's happening here, I think to a degree of maybe fear and humiliation, he just was blown away. And God says in verse number 1, now, arise. He says in verse number 5, he says to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. What did that mean? God was telling Joshua, said, Joshua, if you'll follow my instructions and do what I tell you, there's nobody that can stand up against you. You and I will make a majority, and we can conquer anybody or anything, Joshua, if you stick with me. There's no man out there that can handle you if you stick with me, because nobody can handle me. And you say, well, that sounds exciting to me. That would scare you to death. Because if God comes along and says, there ain't nobody out there that's going to be able to handle you, which probably means about everybody's going to try to handle you. I've been at it long enough to know if somebody says, you may need this big weapon, there's a reason why. In verse number 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And oh my. Joshua, I think, is beginning to understand the immensity of the position in which God is asking him to prepare and to step into. In verse number 5, he said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In verse number 6, God says to him, be strong and of good courage. In verse number 7, he says to him, do according to all the law. In verse number 9, he said, now don't be afraid. In verse number 9, he says, don't be dismayed. Now, why would God have to tell him to be courageous? And why would God have to tell him not to be afraid or dismayed? Because I believe that when Joshua looked at what God wanted to use him to do, I think it scared him. I think Joshua glanced at the thing and said, oh my, God has a plan for my life beyond just getting up in the morning and eating a little and playing in life. God's trying to do something with me. And he was. And I believe that God had to say to Joshua, now Joshua, I'm going to groom you and train you and teach you to lead. And he prepares him for it. But I really do believe that there was some fear that he experienced. I believe that Joshua was a little bit intimidated about the shoes that he would fill. I believe that Joshua was a little fearful of the fact that God wanted to use him to influence and make a difference. Now folks, let me say to everybody in here, I think God wants to use you. I think God has a plan for your life. I think God wants to use you to influence somebody. And however God wants to use you, that plan is as big as God's plan was for Joshua. God's plan for you is that your part in God's story is as important as anybody else's part. But you need to be willing to step up. You need to be willing to handle what you must handle or do what you must do or grow the way you must grow to be able to be used by God. Now, let me make some general statements about this idea of leadership. The great Dr. Lee Robertson, who is now in heaven, said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Another made this statement about leadership and said, they said, everything rises and falls on followership. So someone said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Somebody else said, everything rises and falls on followership. I believe this. I believe that leadership and followership, both in their purest forms, are virtually equal to one another. You say, why is that? Because I believe Jesus was the God-man. He was a perfect leader, and he was a perfect follower, all bundled up in one package. So when somebody says everything rises and falls on leadership, I agree. And they say, but everything rises and falls on followership, I agree. Because the ultimate package is somebody that can lead right, somebody that can follow right. That's the ultimate package. And Jesus Christ was the ultimate package. Someone said that leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. Someone said that leaders are like ducks. Leaders are always floating very calmly on top of the water, but underneath they're paddling furiously to keep from sinking. Leadership is the strength and the good sense to hide our panic from followers. You say, what? Hide panic from followers? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I believe that leaders fear. Leaders are everyday people who make right choices. You know, the greatest leaders that I have known were average people who attempted above average things. Leadership is a behavior that must be maintained. There's not an honorary position of leadership, and once you become a leader, you just stay there and it's yours for life. Oh no. Leadership is a behavior, and that behavior must be maintained. I believe everybody here is leading somebody, and I also believe this. I believe there are people that sit in these pews tonight. One of these days, God wants you to captain a bus route. And it's a little scary to you, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I can, I don't know anything about it. I'm fearful, I don't have it all together. I believe God wants to prepare you. I believe there are people in here that are going to teach adult Sunday school classes. I believe there are people in here that are going to teach a Sunday school class and lead a ministry. I think there are some young men that God will send out to build churches and go to the mission field. I believe all across this auditorium, and this on this day and in days to come, God is going to groom some people to help lead in Christianity. But what happens is that the devil, he's got this way of making us believe that we can't do it and we don't have what it takes. And let me say, the devil would have us to believe that leaders are people who never doubt.
Right.
The devil would like to come to me and you and say to us, you experience too much doubt in life, and leaders don't doubt. The devil would come to us and say, leaders, they don't experience fear. The devil wants to come to us and say, leaders, they never experience insecurity. The devil comes to us and says, leaders are not weak people. The devil comes to us and says, leaders are not weary people. The devil comes to us and he says, leaders are not people that suffer affliction in their attitude. But wait a minute, folks, I disagree with that. I think leaders do suffer from some doubt. I think leaders do suffer from some fear. I think leaders do have insecurities. I think leaders do have weaknesses. And I think leaders do get weary. And I think leaders do suffer some affliction in their attitude. But let me tell you this. Leaders experience all of those. But what makes them leaders is the fact that they're not controlled by any of those. Leaders experience doubt. Leaders experience fear. Leaders experience some insecurity. Leaders experience weakness and weariness and some affliction in their attitude. But they do not allow any of those to control their life. I hope somehow you can get something out of what I'm about to say. I want you to so desperately. I want to encourage those. We have some very humble servants of God in here. And because of that, I really believe that God is seeking for some humble servants of God to help them to be raised up, to be used of God, to captain a bus route, to lead a nursery, and to lead a Sunday school class, and to lead a ministry, and to do something great for God. But we cannot let the devil intimidate us out of being used by God. And he would like to do it. He would like to keep us believing that we can't be used. Let me show you some things. And again, we were there was a storm. I found myself fearful, and I don't mean a little bit afraid. I mean I was a lot of bit afraid. If you've ever been out on the ocean when there's a storm and you don't see any land anywhere and there are sharks in the water, I was afraid. That ship was a tossing and a turning, and no, the devil didn't talk to me with an audible voice, but in my heart, he said to me, you're so fearful, you're too weak, you can't, who do you think you are, how can you lead, you're scared to death out here. And he played with my attitude for a while. And he had me doubting in some areas. The next day, when it was calm, I wrote down some thoughts in a Bible study, and these are they. Folks, I think we would all agree. Let me say, number one, leaders are people of faith. Leaders are people of faith. The Bible says, and let me read a verse, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Mark chapter 9, verse number 24, it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, leaders are people of faith, and you believe that, and I believe that. And we respect leaders, that's godly leaders and Christian leaders. We expect that they're going to have faith. So we exalt Abraham, and we exalt great faith, and we should. And leaders are supposed to have faith. Oh, but I'm so glad to hear this little story in the Bible. A man had a son which had a dumb spirit. He brings his son to Jesus to be healed. Jesus said, if you have faith, I can heal him. And listen to what the man said. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe, but I don't believe. Help me with this thing. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Please excuse the humanity for a moment, but I believe. Sometimes. If we're not careful, the devil comes to us and say, if you don't have perfect faith, you can't be used. I'm sorry, that's not true. I'm sorry, that's not true. You see, we are to be people of faith, and leaders are people of faith. Faith is not the absence of doubt. See, you have to understand something. It is the presence of doubt that necessitates the need of faith. If there was no doubt, you wouldn't need faith. So somebody says to you, the devil comes along and says, well, you've got doubt. You don't have any faith. He's a liar and telling you to go back to hell. It was my doubt that caused me to need the faith. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of doubt. So when we're in a situation, we have the presence of belief and we have the presence of doubt. Doubt is that emotion that causes us to need to use this thing called faith. You say, now what does a leader do? Let me explain. Something's happened. I have faith, but I have doubt. Now, what does the leader do? The leader then steps out on their belief. And that's what separates leaders from everybody else. You say, I have doubt. I don't qualify. Everybody has doubt. The only difference between a leader and somebody that may not lead is when you have doubt and you have faith. The leader steps out on the faith. They don't let the doubt overwhelm them. Leaders experience doubt, but they are not controlled by doubt. You see, I face some of the same challenges of life that you do. I have some of the same doubts that you do. I just step out and believe and try to leave my doubts behind, just like you should. So, leaders are people of faith. But you have to understand, faith has some ingredients. Part of the ingredient of faith is doubt. But it is not to become the overwhelming ingredient. It is only a portion of this process. So the devil comes along and he says to you, you don't have great faith because you have some doubt. Look, all you have to do is when you have doubt, step out by faith and you've overcome the doubt. The doubt is going to be there. Yes, God can use you. The devil lies to us though. He gets us to believing we don't have strong enough faith to be used of God. Don't let him intimidate you. Don't let him fool you. Yes, you're going to have some doubt, but don't let the doubt overwhelm. Step out on your belief. Step out on your faith. Step out and do what God wants you to do. So I looked at leadership, and I thought, leadership is faith. I analyzed it, and I realized, wait a minute, I do have some doubts, but I don't let those doubts control me. Then I thought, leaders are people of courage. A leader, when you and I look at somebody and we think of leadership, we think of somebody that has courage and somebody that'll stand in the gap and somebody that'll stand up and do what's right, no matter what the cost. Listen to this verse. Daniel chapter 11, verse 25, it says, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. Here the Bible says somebody had to stir up their courage. That meant their courage was dormant. That means the courage needed to be shifted around a little bit to make it active. Yes, somebody's courage needed stirred up. See, everybody has an element of courage available to them, but not everybody activates it. Right. Courage is not the absence of fear. You remember, I told you that faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the presence of doubt. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of fear and the presence of boldness, maybe both at the same time. You've got to remember something. Fear is the emotion that necessitates courage. Does that make sense to you? If there wasn't something to fear, then why would you need courage? If there wasn't doubt, why would you need faith? Fear necessitates the need of courage. So something comes upon you and you say, I'm afraid, I have fear. Okay, everybody gets there.
The thing that separates the men from the boys is some people let their fear intimidate them out of doing what needs to be done. Others say, yes, I fear, but I am going to step out and be bold, and they activate their courage. So, leaders are people of courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the presence of fear. But we do not let the fear overwhelm us. We step out, we're bold, and we activate our courage. Leaders experience fear, but they're not controlled by fear. Leaders experience doubt, but they're not controlled by doubt. They step out on their belief, not the doubt, and they have faith. I got to thinking of this subject of confidence. Leaders are confident people. You say, well, brother, once when I look at a leader, I think of somebody that is confident. I do too. I look at somebody that's sure. Well, I do too. But I think if all leaders would tell you the truth, they're not as confident 24/7 as what you might think.
Right.
You think every leader just got the answer right on the spot? They know exactly what to do, and that just comes natural. Now, maybe other leaders are that way, but I'm not that way. I toss and turn my fair share in regard to this thing of confidence. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image without which thou hast set up. Here's the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to get thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And you and I, when we think of these three Hebrew men, we're thinking of some pretty confident men. Because they said, go ahead and throw us in the furnace if you want to. God's going to deliver us. But did you hear what they said? But if not, I'm guessing there's a little wishy-washiness there on their confidence. And maybe it was wishy-washiness with a little bit of faith in there, but if I know them, I'm sure there was a bit of a lack of confidence on their part here. Hey folks, confidence is not the absence of insecurity. You hear that? Confidence is not the absence of insecurity. Matter of fact, it is insecurity that helps us to express confidence. If there wasn't something about which to be insecure, then we would not need to step up and exercise our confidence. If there is no doubt, there's no chance to exercise faith. If there is no fear, there is no chance to exercise courage. If there is no insecurity, there's not an opportunity to exercise confidence. Is this making sense to you? You see, it is that presence of that insecurity that necessitates the exercising of your confidence. So what does a leader do? Hey, somebody faces a situation and they're a bit insecure and they're not sure what the outcome will be. Some people stop right there and they say, whoa, I'm paralyzed. I can't go forward. A leader says, I'm scared too and I'm not sure either. I'm going forward. I'm going to go ahead and exercise my confidence in God, even though I'm a little insecure about it. You may look at those that lead you and think, well, look at how they carry themselves. They never fear. They never have doubt. No. No, you're all wrong. Every leader you've ever seen has fear. Every leader that you've ever followed had a lack of confidence. And every leader that you ever followed experienced some doubt. But the difference is they didn't let doubt control them. They let belief control them. And they didn't let fear control them. They let courage control them. And they didn't let their insecurity control them. They had the same insecurity you did. But they didn't let insecurity become the overwhelming ingredients in their confidence. They stepped out anyway. I'll guarantee it. So you see, leaders experience insecurity, but they're not controlled by it. Then I got to thinking of this subject of strength. Leaders are people of strength. We believe that a leader is someone that's strong. We heard it earlier. God said to Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. Sure. Hebrews 11:34 says, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Here the Bible says in this scripture, God, a few verses earlier, is bragging on some Old Testament saints. And these are Old Testament victorious saints in Hebrews chapter 11. And he uses these words describing these saints. He said, out of weakness we're made strong. In other words, before strength was developed and revealed, weakness was present. You see, strength is not the absence of weakness. It is weakness that necessitates the use of strength. It is the presence of both weakness and strength. And somebody said, I'm going to go ahead and be strong. Leaders, step out and be strong. Yet everybody here faces a moment where they say, I'm weak. I don't know if I can go on. Everybody does. What makes a leader? Leader says, I'm weak, but I'm going to go on. You look at a leader and say, well, you just got all this. This leadership is just groomed. It comes natural to you. No, everybody faces the same thing. Every person that's ever led anything, they had weakness, and their weakness was a challenge to the task, and they said, I'm weak right now too. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. The guy who runs the race, the guy's running 5 miles and he's running as fast as he can with a pack of other men. Every man there comes to a point where his side is killing him and he's sucking air and he doesn't know what to do. Some people say, I'm just so weak. I don't think I can go on. Somebody says, I am hurting just like you. I will run on. That's leadership. Leadership is when you face what I face and when I face what you face and we hurt the same way. Somebody says, I will not let this stop me right now. I will keep going. So leaders are people of strength. But wait a minute. Strength is not the absence of weakness. It is not letting weakness overcome you. Leaders experience weakness, but they're just not controlled by weakness. And so, faith. Leaders are people of faith. Does that mean they don't doubt? No. No. They do doubt, but they don't let doubt control them. They let belief or faith control them. Leaders are people of courage. Does that mean that they do not fear? Well, no. They do fear, but they do not let fear control them. Leaders are people of confidence. Does that mean that there is no insecurity? No. It means there is insecurity, but the insecurity is not allowed to control the decisions of life. And they step up and they find that they are confident in the Lord. Leaders are people of strength, and indeed they are. Does that mean that a leader has no weaknesses? No. It means a leader does have weakness, but the leader does not let the weakness stop him from going on. The only way you'll grow, let's go back to running. You know that the only way you'll grow if you're running a long distance is you run as far as you can until you hurt as bad as you can hurt, and then the next day you run further and hurt again. The weakness grows your strength. Listen to the verse. It says in Hebrews 11:34, speaking of these Old Testament victorious saints, it says, out of weakness we're made strong. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Weakness builds strength. Let me go on. I believe leaders are people of stamina. They're people of stamina. You believe that. I believe that. We look at leaders and we think of somebody that just keeps on going. We think of somebody that's in for the duration. We think of that thing of faithfulness and somebody that just keeps moving and they don't quit and they don't let things stop them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Stamina is not the absence of weariness. Right. I think the only way you can prove you have stamina is if weariness is present. The forerunner of stamina is weariness, and there's probably more weariness than there is stamina.
Right.
You take yourself to the end of your rope, and then you say, I'm going to hang on here. That's stamina. But somehow you got to get to the end of your rope. What is that? That's weariness.
Yes,
stamina is not the absence of weariness. It is the presence of both weariness and endurance. And it is the weariness that necessitated the use of endurance. And a leader says, I'll step out and I'll endure. And somebody else said, well, I'm weary. I think I'll sit down here and I won't go forward. Someone that has stamina, they feel the same way you do, but they don't sit down on the sideline and wait. They keep going. Remember, it is that weariness that makes the need of your endurance to kick in. So, devil comes along to us, and we say, well, Brother Owens, I'm weary. I can't be a good leader. No, we're just about to figure out if you want to be a leader. Say, I'm weary. Hey, this nation was built by weary people. That's just all there is to it. Weary people lead the world. There's somebody else that's just as tired as you, and they have just as much to do as you do, and tomorrow you'll sit on the sideline and throw a pity party for yourself. Somebody else will get up and say, I'm going forward. I'm just as tired as she is. I'm just as tired as he is. I'm wore out. I'm tuckered out. I want to quit. The leader says, I'll get up tomorrow and I'll go again. Hey, it is not the absence of weariness. It's the presence of weariness. But they capitalize on the endurance, and they show that they have strength. I don't care what you face in this church. I don't care how the devil's attacking you. The devil has attacked somebody else the identical way, with the identical kind of pressure. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You may quit, but somebody else went on. And it's not a matter that they had something that you didn't. They used something that you chose not to use, but you both had it. You both had it. So you see, leaders are people of faith. It's not that there is no doubt, there is doubt, but they don't let the doubt overwhelm them. Leaders are people of courage. It's not a matter of that there is no fear, there is fear, but they don't let the fear control them. Leaders are people of confidence. It's not a matter that there is no insecurity in their life. It is a matter that they don't let the insecurity control them. Leaders are people of strength. It's not a matter that there's not weakness in the life. There's weakness there, but they don't let the weakness control them. Leaders are people of stamina. But it's not a matter of that there is no weariness in the life. They do get weary, but they don't let the weariness control them. I'm finished. I just make one statement, but I'm going to close down. I'm not going to explain it. I really believe this. I think leaders are people of peace. God said, my peace I give unto thee. Peace is not the absence of having an afflicted spirit, but it's just the accepting of God's sovereignty. I mean, if we believe that God's taking care of us and nothing's going to happen to the Christian without God knowing, then relax. You say, well, I wish God would give me the peace that you have when you go through your burdens, preacher. The same peace is available to you. Leadership means somebody was going through a terrible time and they looked at God and said, you told me you're going to take care of me. I trust you. I'm going to sleep. You go through the very same thing and toss and turn all night. You never look to God and say, I trust you. Look, hey, peace is not the absence of affliction. It's the presence of affliction that I believe in the sovereignty of God. I think sometimes the devil intimidates us. I'm telling you the truth. I was scared on that ship. Waves tossing and turning threw me all the way out of my bed. I looked out on the balcony. I seen those waves. I thought, goodness, it's incredible. The devil said, Jeff Owens, you're showing fear. You're afraid to die. You're weaker than what you think. I was able to say in hours to come, I'm weak. Yes, I am. But I'll tell you this, devil. I will not let that weakness control me. Yes, it is present. Yes, I am human. Yes, I am a sinner. But by God's grace, I will step up and I'll do what I'm supposed to do, even when I'm scared, even when I doubt, even when I'm insecure, even when I'm not sure of myself. I'll go ahead and step out. And that separates the men from the boys. Leadership is not the absence of weakness. It's the presence of weakness, but the acting upon the boldness and the courage that God gives us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.